here we are, Easter Sunday. It's what we've been kind of building up for ever since, well, I don't know, Christmas morning. And it is indeed the Super Bowl of Christianity. We are here, and we are expectant. We are looking for some new significance for this old tale, some new urgency that will open our days and break into our lives. Because many of us, well, we don't really understand this. I remember years ago I had a good friend and he said, how did the resurrection happen? And I said, well, I wasn't there. I really don't have an answer to that question. And he kept harping on how. He wanted the biomechanical explanation for how the resurrection happened. And I said, listen, I'm just in sales, not management. I'm not so much interested in the how. I'm more interested in the why. The why of the resurrection. And scripture is full of the whys. But the Western mind, such as we have it, is more interested sometimes in a literal interpretation. We want to know how things happen. And there are some things, and I finally come to rest in this truth. There are some things I'm not going to understand. I don't understand how the resurrection happened, but I trust that it did. In fact, I stake my life on it every day. There's an amazing and increasing number of things I don't understand. I don't understand my GPS, okay? I don't understand my computer. I know these things do something for me, and I trust that they are going to get me there, but I don't know how they work, and that's okay. I don't understand my 17-year-old granddaughter. I'm not supposed to. First of all, I'm a male. She's a female. Enough said. It was explained to me a long time ago by one of the critical care nurses in the trauma unit I worked in as a chaplain. She said, you see, the problem is women have two X chromosomes. Men have an X and a Y. A Y is an incomplete X. Now I understand. 46 years of marriage, I'm still learning. The how of the resurrection is not as important as the why. I've been dealing this past several weeks with Christian symbolism. And I read an article that said, you know, wearing a cross as decoration is similar to wearing an electric chair. It's an instrument of execution. Or maybe we should wear a syringe for lethal injection. I talked on Good Friday about the fact that the cross we have does not have Christ upon it. Perhaps on Good Friday it should, because we tend to forget the suffering that went into our salvation. But I've about come to decide that the most appropriate symbol for Christianity would be the empty tomb. And my vision of this, if there, any of you are jewelers out there, take this and run with it, is an empty circle next to a full circle. Empty circle, full circle. The full circle represents the stone that has been rolled away. The empty circle represents the empty tomb. where all of life is funneled. All of life is funneled into the empty tomb, and much like a magnifying glass, it goes in and it comes out expanded and full of God's grace. I like that symbolism the more I think about it. Of course, I'm retired now, and I can have those kind of heretical thoughts. It's certainly freeing. But the empty tomb should be the symbol of our hope as Christians. I like the fact that we come together on one day of the year to celebrate an empty tomb. What would our lives be like if the sealing of that tomb was the end of the story? Well, Jesus of Nazareth would have been just another itinerant rabbi who lived, who was tortured, who was killed, and that would be the end of it. We would not have the disciples bearing witness to a risen Lord. We wouldn't have Simon Peter on the road to Emmaus having his sudden conversion experience. We wouldn't have the Acts of the Apostles. We wouldn't have any of the letters and books of the New Testament. Our faith would have ended then and there, and we may well be speaking Hebrew and going to each other's bar and bat mitzvahs, and that wouldn't necessarily be a terrible thing. But our faith is a faith that celebrates an empty tomb. Our faith celebrates new life. Our faith celebrates resurrection, because in that moment, human life was forever changed. New vistas, new opportunities were opened up, which had heretofore been unimaginable. And perhaps most importantly, the quality of hope was born. Hope that transcends life and death and life beyond death. Hope that enables us to go forth as brothers and sisters out into a world where we have a job, the job of sharing hope, sharing faith, sharing love. That is the ultimate message of the empty tomb. Jesus came forth from the tomb and showed himself to many, many people. And he said to them, "Behold, I am alive, and because I am alive, you will live also." Not in that namby-pamby sense of sitting on a cloud, strumming the strings of a golden harp. That's what my grandmother was looking forward to. I told her I thought that was a very boring impression of eternity. She didn't talk to me for 2 weeks after that. Grandmother was a bit of a literalist about everything. And she told me about the streets of gold. I said, "It seems to me those would get rutted very quickly." That made her mad too. Heaven is a concept, not for the sweet by and by when we die. It's a concept for right now. We have our feet in heaven. Eternal life as quality life begins here and now. It's wrapped up there and then, but eternal life begins here and now. And if the blessings of the faith, the blessings of love, the blessings of grace are not yours right now, then all the makeup stuff there and then won't make a hill's beans worth of difference. We're called to live now. as those who will live eternally. We will go from this place to, well, I don't know, home, family house, clubs. We'll have good meals. We're going to continue to look pretty good, pretty spiffed up for the rest of the day. But this is not really what Easter is all about. I learned last year in my own life what Easter was all about. When Miss Vicky took a fall down the steps, fell down six steps, broke every single rib in her body, was life flighted to Erlanger Hospital. Easter happened in that car ride from Blue Ridge to Chattanooga. Easter happens then. Easter happens when we're at our darkest moments in our lives, when everything is crashing in on us. That's when Easter comes and we are subtly reminded that God's in control. Easter is there on the battlefields of Ukraine and in the slums of Gaza. Easter was there on October the 7th, even in the midst of the horror and the atrocities. Easter is there in the Kremlin. Easter is here in the General Assembly. Easter is wherever human need is the greatest. And the good news of Easter is that you and I are called to be participants, called to be partakers in making Easter real in the hospitals, in the nursing homes, in the funeral homes, wherever we might be. We are the harbingers of Easter, the good news. Easter is fine and beautiful when it's got grass and Easter eggs. But you see, real Easter's got mud on its boots. Real Easter comes in hard times, when the crops fail, when the children are sick, when life seems just about worthless. That's when we need to step in and say, "Happy Easter." Try saying that to somebody who has no idea what you're talking about. They'll give you a crazy look. But that's your opportunity to say, "I said Happy Easter because God is with you even in this moment. And you're too tired and beat up and sad and angry to hear it now. But it is my job to tell you, Happy Easter." The same God who pulled Jesus out of the tomb is here to help you out of this mire. You see, Easter is, well, it's kind of our marching orders. It's kind of our commission to go out there in the world and try to make a difference in the hearts and minds of people. And if we fail to do that, well, Easter is just kind of another holiday. The darkest day of my childhood was when I discovered that there was such a thing as a hollow chocolate Easter bunny. Whoever thought that up? I have an afterlife experience already planned for them. Good thing I'm not in management. No, Easter is a time to laugh, because you see, laughter, as I told the children, it's got the hand of God on the shoulder of a troubled world. It also gives us perspective and control over those situations. And that's why Martin Luther said, when Christians laugh, the devil flees. Easter bunny, chocolate Easter bunny, went to see his therapist. His therapist says, "How are you feeling?" says, I've been feeling hollow for a long time. See, you're supposed to tell a joke on Easter Sunday. That's a great Lutheran tradition because we have to laugh. I hope you go out from this place knowing that God has commissioned you to go out into places that are uncomfortable and not beautiful and harmful and hurtful. God has called you and commissioned you to make a difference. Go out and dare to people, tell to people over and over again, Happy Easter. And so it is. Amen.